You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Mike McNamara with you for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. The chef will not join us today. Chef is like down hard with back issues. Yeah, go figure, man. So he's not going to be here. So I'm trying to figure out, like, what do I do with the second hour? All right, there's a whole bunch of things I could do in my house here on a Friday. I got a bunch of stuff to get to today, but I'll take suggestions for the second hour.
I did some shopping yesterday. Yep, I did some, well, it's a kind of professional shopping. Like, I have this list, this Target list that I've been working on, and not a Target list. It's a list of Targets. And, I've been looking to try to, when I go on the road, right, I have to kind of take this microphone right here. That one? Yeah, that's, you know, so it's a broadcasting microphone here in my studio, and I don't like pulling my studio apart. It doesn't make me happy. So I've been waiting to buy a headset. You know, a broadcasting headset. You see them on sports broadcasts, right? Those, yeah. So you don't have to, you know, take your, so I was looking for that yesterday. I've also, one of the casualties of post-traumatic winning was my favorite coat, my toggle coat, my duffel coat, whatever you, I'm not sure exactly. I think it's called a duffel coat. The Montgomery jacket, navy wool toggle duffel coat, and I'll see what they call it. Burberry, they make good stuff. Duffel coat. And what happened was, on my way back from Camp Lejeune in January, I'm in the airport in Phoenix, and, you know, we had done it for a week, and the results started to trickle in, and I'm on the phone, and I'm talking to somebody, and they're losing their minds, right? And so I am talking, and I'm all geeked up. I have my coat. I'm in Phoenix in the airport, and it's warm. And I'm talking, and then I go get on the plane. I walk away, and I've had this coat forever. I've sewn it a couple times. And and all of a sudden it dawns on me when I get home. Like, where's my coat? And I'm like, I left it in the airport in Phoenix. Oh, and I called Lost and Found in Phoenix. You think they've seen it? Not only no, but hell no. So we got that going for us. And and so I need to, now it's the following winter, right? I'm looking for my coat, and it was an awesome coat too, right? Because it came to like just above the knee, so when it does get cold, right, covers your ass, keeps you warm, you know. And it was a good looking coat, that, you know, navy blue black color, had a hood on it, which I like in case it got windy or rainy, you could throw the hood on. So I had to replace that, and then the other thing I had to replace was my rolling stock luggage. Yep. And so I went online and started looking for luggage and stuff. So not something I but I believe in buying good stuff. Now, and then you're going to own it for 20 years, right? You're not going to replace it in 2 years. So Colleen and I went out and did that. Then we're on the way home. She said, what's for dinner? I said, we'll grab something. We stop at my favorite Mexican food place here in Costa Mesa. It's a place called Hank's. Now, Hank's is a, I get mad at Hank's because they close, man. They're like on Sunday, they close at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I went by there and there's a liquor store next door. And the people at the liquor store told me, yeah, they're Catholic, man. They don't play that Sunday. They don't play that Sunday game. And I was like, what? I mean, come on. And then on weeknights, I think they close at 8. Yeah, so I mean, it's like a family business. So Colleen and I get there. It's like 7:25. I was excited. And I get the chicken enchiladas with rice and beans. Now, I'm going to tell you, the rice and beans are awesome. Yeah, go figure, right? Who goes for the rice and beans? Well, if you go to Hank's in Costa Mesa, just so you know, Amazon just told me my jacket just shipped. Anyway, we go in there and we're ordering, and I look at the lady, nice Hispanic lady, she's probably 60, she's probably my age, and I said, "Who's Hank?" And she looks at me, she says, "It's a long story." I said, well, I mean, come on, I'm here, like, what the hell? And so she says, well, our parents bought a liquor store in Santa Ana in 1957. The liquor store was called Hank's. And they operated the liquor store. And then inside the liquor store, they started making food. And then the food business got bigger than the liquor business. Hard to believe, but it did. She said, and then kind of the neighborhood, you know, it went downhill. There was like a lot of drugs and it wasn't safe. And we started, so we were going to move. And my uncle had the business next door here. And he said, hey, come, you know, the place next to me is open. So we moved here, I can't remember, in 1980-something. And no, it's just a cool family business story, right? Just a cool family business story. She said, if you ever come around here on Sunday morning, you'll see why we close Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning here is crazy. We are most known for our breakfast burritos, which I've never had. And she said, yeah. So we do our business, and then we close up in the afternoon. But it's like, what makes you want to go, you know, give somebody your business, right? They're a cool little family business. So, Hank's, yeah. If you're ever in Costa Mesa, California, it's on Baker Avenue or Baker Street, I think, between Fairview and Bristol. Hank's, that's right. What else? If you look on the website, you can see a picture of Chris from Webstat. As a Marine. That's right. So if you missed hearing Chris yesterday, we gave him a call. He was in the hospital. So we gave him a call. And then we're talking to him. And he's explaining how he lost 250 pounds. Explaining how he lost 250 pounds. Like, what? And so, anyway, now the way I meet Chris is he sends me, right? He might be the origin of shithole weather updates. Yeah. I think if I was going to lay the blame for shithole weather on somebody, it would be Chris. So he would send me these weather updates. And I started reading them, and now I read them from anybody who sends me a weather update. I will read it on the air. So that's how that got going. So now I said, so now we talk about it. He talked about losing weight, and his goal is to run a Marine Corps PFT and to pass it. Right? Not max it, to pass it, which is good, right? So anyway, I said, all right, give us the current weather in Webster. And he says Webster. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? You spell that thing phonetically every day. W-E-B-S-T-A-A-A-A. Web. And so then he screwed up a second time. And so I'm yelling at him, and then I'm getting hate mail. Dude, he's in the hospital. Quit yelling at him. I'm like, come on, man. You screwed up, it doesn't matter if you're in the hospital, you still get yelled at. Right? Yes, exactly. Thank you. So, if you haven't listened to that, listen to it. It's awesome. And it's a great, obviously, his story is an amazing story. Right? And so, and an inspiring story for a lot of people. So, yeah, Chris. So, he's supposed to, get out of the hospital relatively soon, maybe yesterday, but I've not confirmed that he's home. Yeah, Chris, check that out. there's also another story pending that I can't talk about it too much because, but it has to do with the Hall Ball and all of that. So yeah, there might be more news coming from that. I'll tell you this, I got a ton of email about the prom gone wrong discussion. People laughing. Like, dude, that is such a spot on description of that fiasco. Everybody looks fantastic, and then it all goes sideways. So, anyhow, there you have it. Couple other things. Now, there's people that listen to this, right? There's somebody who listens to this while they commute. Here in Southern California. That person was supposed to contact me, and they haven't. So this is just a friendly warning, okay? Unless you want me to do, like, evil stuff. Not evil, right? Unless you want me to drag you through the streets of All Marine Radio, and you know who you are, you better contact me. So, enough said. The chef, yeah, he down hard. And so he's not going to be with us today. And I've yet to figure out what I'm going to do in the second hour. So if you have a suggestion. Now, here's one thing I could do, right? One thing I could do is, you know, this is the show. And he called me a little bit ago. He's upset. I said, calm down there, pumpkin. But this is like the Thanksgiving show, right? He loves Thanksgiving. And so he's not happy that he's not on today. Now, I could... Right, I could play best of versions of his Thanksgiving stuff, and which is very good, which is very good stuff. So, I guess we'll go sideways for a while and see where this program goes. Yesterday, I didn't anticipate calling Chris from Webster, and all of a sudden that thing happened. So, one never quite knows where the show is going to go, which is one of the fun things about. About doing, you know, radio and about the unpredictable nature of it. So we'll see what happens. But if you have, you know, if you have an instinct or you have an idea, don't be afraid to bust me off an email and, let me know. So, I'm all ears this morning. And then I've got I've got Mike Etor. Spoke to me a little bit ago. I just, you know, I have to tell you this. This is how smart I am. I engineered a little wiring event in my studio. And I got a much longer cord for my headset. So if I have to walk to the printer, like I just did, I don't know how to put my headset down. Yeah. And if I didn't even tell it to you, you would not even know. Right? This is Lynch and Kenny. I never get enough of those two guys. Call them up, and you three monkeys go off on something. Okay, you know, I don't know that the world needs more of those two monkeys, okay? Trust me. That is an event that you have to manage. It is not like, yeah, it is not something that can be unsupervised. It has to be rigorously managed, okay? Rigorously. Because... Those chimps, if they're not supervised, they do what chimps do, which is bad things, okay? They're not humans, they're chimps. Yeah, anyway. Okay, now this is from Mike Etor. The one and only Mike Etor. Mike Etore, I guess that's what they would have said in, all right. So Mike is willing to send a free print copy of his book to the first 100 people who send a request for the book. He'll send you the book. Okay. And you know, because he said, you know, I haven't got that many request for the PDF file. I said, because nobody wants a PDF file. I said, everybody just bought it. I've talked to all kinds of people, and they're all reading it. But they want either the electronic version so they can have notes in it. But, you know, what do you do with a PDF file? I mean, you can't, you know, unless you have, like, Adobe whatever, which I think I have now. I'm getting into like creating videos and stuff like that. So Adobe's got some pretty good software for it. But it's cheapest just to buy the whole suite for about $30 a month. And then you get access to, you know, you can do tricks with PDF files. But if you don't have that, like, okay, you can read it, but come on. So anyway, Mike sent this. Right. Michael sends you a free copy of the book, but you have to agree to do this. One, read the entire book. Yeah, it's 500 pages, okay? So it's, yeah, come on, it might be, you knock it out in a week. Two, they'll participate in one of the live leadership discussions that we talked about having on your show in the future. Yeah, that you're going to make a live appearance on this incredible program in the future. You have to agree to that. Three, that they post an honest 2-3 sentence book review on the book's Amazon sales page within 30 days of receiving the book. And we're going to track it, okay? We are going to track it. Once you send Mike your email, right, it'll take 7 to 12 days to get the book. Okay, you want his email address? Get something to write with. La, 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 la. Come on, I don't have all day. Move it. Move it. I like to move it, move it. Let's see. Okay, here's Mike's, here's the email address for this. Info, I-N-F-O, that's how you spell info, at FidelisLeadership.com. Okay, now, for all you chimps out there that can't spell Fidelis, F-I-D-E-L-I-S, and then leadership.com, all one word. If you can't spell leadership, you don't need this book, okay? That's what I'm telling. That's what I have to say about that. So, Mike's book. The person driving around and commuting in Southern California that hasn't contacted me, don't think I forget these things. I don't. Right? And don't think I'm not a grudge holder. I am. Okay? Ask my kids. My kids will tell you that I am a grudge holder. Woo! Yeah. But they love it, right? My kids love that I hold grudges. And most of the things I hold grudges are over my kids. Right. That you, like, if you wrong one of my kids, I'm worse than their mother. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. My ex is pretty bad about stuff like that. Although she would deny that she's a grudge holder. But I think moms in general tend to be grudge holders. Yep. That's my opinion anyway. Oh, Mac. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, yeah. Wrong a mother's child and watch how the mother treats you. It ain't pretty. All right. There's some stuff I want to talk about in the news today. But before we do that, and then I don't know what we're going to do after that. I have no idea. Whitney Houston, it is Friday, right? Thanksgiving upon us next week? Yeah. Thanksgiving upon us next week, so that's exciting. So, happy Friday to you. It is the 22nd day of, I know what we're going to do. We'll do a little bit of today in history. Am I mistaken, or is today the day John Kennedy was assassinated? Today in history. Stand by. On this day, the New York Times, Today in History, also online at the Library of Congress. Which one of these should I choose? It's important. On this day is what they call it in the New York Times. On this day in history, New York Times. I know people yelling, Mac, you dope. The Learning Network. The New York Times guy has this thing called the Learning Network. Okay, that's not why we go to the paper. Please. All right. on this day. Find a day. Month is November. Day is 22nd. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated while riding in a motorcade in Dallas. Suspected gunman Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested. Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in as the 36th President of the United States. So, we'll do a little today in history. I love history, and why would I allow today in history to drop off my radar? Right? Even historic birthdays and famous dead people. So, yeah, we'll figure it out. So, good morning to you here on this Friday. And, over two-thirds of the way through November. December and Christmas. We were making Christmas plans. Yeah, go to Disneyland over Christmas. Are you kidding me? Who does that? Only tourists do that. But we have a four-year-old grandson. And our family's going to be all together, and that doesn't happen very often. So is that something that you might consider? Yes, it is. And then the way you mitigate against the crush of humanity at Disneyland when they raise the prices during the holidays, let me tell you, nobody knows how to count money like the Disney people, man. They crush it. Anyway, the way you get around it is you get there when the park opens, right? So, you know, you're there at the happiest place on earth early, and then you hang out till like early afternoon when a billion people show up, and then you go home, get in your car and go home, you take a nap, and then you come back in the evening and you watch fireworks and the parade at night and all that. So that's how you do Disneyland, I think. So we'll see if that actually manifests itself. But, yeah, we're actually doing holiday planning. Yeah, pretty exciting. Which I never really participate in, but I am this year. Don't ask me why. Yeah. So Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Whitney Houston sings the nation's song. Good Friday morning to you. Here's, now everybody's got an opinion, right? This is from Dave in Vacaville. Hey, Mac, if your program director was worth a salt, he'd have some other guys stand in for the chef, as in Montana Man, or some other fellas talking food. Fire his ass. Montana man backed out at 7:45. Yeah. That's what kind of loser Montana man is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, probably, you know, I'm down here in Texas doing some stuff, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, yeah, program director, yeah, easy title, right? Just have your Rolodex, call people, they all hop on. And then you have somebody pull that kind of nonsense. All right, this is dedicated to the spirit of Christmas. As we get ready to launch into, I saw a Christmas tree in Yuma for the first one I've seen all year. In the lobby of the BOQ in Yuma. Yeah, I'm standing there. And I'm standing there because the bank locked my credit card because it's like, yeah, odd behavior. Like what was the odd behavior? Oh, you were in Yuma. Like, that's not on your beaten zone. I'm like, I know it's not. Anyhow. So, this is dedicated to the spirit of Christmas, and that'll start here in the next coming week as everybody gets ready to head back and join family and friends for Thanksgiving. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. And, if you're a Christmas hater, happy holidays or I almost said the F word. Whatever you do. But I'm trying to be in the Christmas spirit, so I didn't say the F word. So, Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
Come on, that's funny. And this is funnier.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here in Marineland on a Friday. It is currently raining and 51 degrees in Quantico. It is partly sunny and 65 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Warmed up a little bit there. 29 Palms, it is sunny and 49. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 54. As Southern California returns to normally seasonal temperature. Camp Smith and Y, dark cloudy 73, normal. But they have 3 weather alerts, so we got to go there. Okinawa's got 5 weather alerts. Typhoon, I don't know that, but we'll see. So stand by. There's a wind advisory in effect. A small craft advisory, and a high surf advisory. That's what's going on at Camp Smith in Hawaii. On Okinawa, it is cloudy and 72, but 5 weather alerts. So we'll check those out as we make sure we're up to snuff on our weather around the world. There's a flood warning on Okinawa until 6 p.m., Japanese Standard Time on Saturday, November 23rd. Heavy rainfall warning, high wave advisory, thunderstorm advisory, and a gale advisory as Okinawa gets pelted. That is nothing new. They know how to do that over there, batten down the hatches and all that. In Lashkargah, it is evening, clear, and 45 degrees, so cold in Afghanistan, at least in southern south-central Afghanistan. And in western Iraq, in the garden spot of Al Anbar, which is Ramadi, it is cloudy and 61 late in the afternoon as sun sets. And at the home of All Marine Radio in Costa Mesa, California, it is sunny and 59 degrees. Costa Mesa, similarly the home of Hank's Mexican Food. That's right. Proud family business. There you go. Looking for a high of 72 degrees under sunny skies today. It'll be partly sunny and 76 tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it'll be sunny and 74. Now, I've been remiss in this. I want to apologize to everybody, but I've been remiss in, like, my shithole weather responsibilities. That's right. And so let me make amends for that. This is from Chris in Webster, Massachusetts. He says this: the 2010 census recorded a population of 16,767 in Webster. The town is known for its Polish American roots. You can tell that because it's named after Daniel Webster. I mean, go figure. Current conditions: 45 degrees, rising rapidly to 49. Showers between 11 o'clock and 2, which would be that time right now. Winds out of the west at 10 to 15 with gusts up to 30, so a little bit of wind. And then it's going to clear overnight. Chris from Webster. Yeah, nice. Way to screw that one up yesterday. From Vacaville, California. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California is 39 degrees. Winds are 5 miles an hour out of the north-northeast. Sunny and clear, looking for a high of 68 degrees. So Vacaville sits between San Francisco and Sacramento, right? So towards the valley. Let's see. Nancy got off her deathbed. On a countdown till Thanksgiving Friday in Pleasantville, it's currently cloudy and 37, on the way to 42 with a low of 24 overnight. Winds are out of the west-northwest at 14, gusting to 22. Rain and snow mix starts late in the day. Erie is 10 degrees warmer. Downright tropical, isn't it? Spelled I-N-N-I-T. Nice. Hi, Chef Kim. Yeah. Kimmy, he's not here. And let me just tell you this. He does not like when he can't play with the rest of the kids. So he's not happy today. And he knows that he's going to get wire brushed by me for not showing up, right? We like dependable people in this business, right? Good morning, Mac. Help me out. I've read many military books, but I'm still not sure on effectiveness. How many soldiers in an army division are actually combat ready, and how many IE, WIA, or casualties does a division accept before being pulled out? Be well. Well, I think it depends is if you have anybody else to stick in there. Like, there isn't. Like, that's not. If you don't have the next group lined up, guess what? Suck it up, boys. So I think that depends. I don't know that there's no book solution to that. There's no book solution. I mean, in World War II, people rotated units, out of the quote unquote frontline position to give people rest. But if you don't have another unit capable of doing that, that makes that kind of tough to do. So I don't know the hard and fast rule you're looking for, right, is there. Hold on, there's one other thing I wanted to get to. So I think it's just, that's one of those, I know it sucks as an answer, that it depends on the situation, but you've got to have, a like number of people that are rested and can go do that. And if you go do that, I think it would depend on the reports from your subordinate commanders. In the case of a division, it would be your regimental commanders. What do they tell, when they look you in the face, what are they telling you? Hey, we can't go much further. I'm up there and my guys are worn out. So you're either going to have to let us pause here, but if you want this attack pressed, my guys can't go much longer. Okay. And I'll get up there and I'll beat them with a whip to get them to go. But just so you know, and you can come up and see it for yourself. And, and the story is they would. And then somebody else would get their ass up there. And it might be somebody else might be already weaker. They might already be blood white. Or maybe they had a chance to go, to kind of rotate back to eat, sleep, and bring in replacements. So, anyway, yikes. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll check the news. And then after the news, we're going to do Today in History. Yeah, I love history. I'm even going to play the big history music when we do it. John Kennedy assassinated on this date. How many years ago? 1962? Yay? 1963. So we're in 9. So what is that? 30 gets you to 90. And then another 20. So 56 years ago today? Something like that. Wow. Yeah, you want to know what I remember about the Kennedy assassination? I remember it's the first time I ever saw my mom cry. That's when I knew something really bad had happened, right? And I remember I was in kindergarten, and I remember sitting on it. I remember going in the family room, and we had a black and white TV in a pine rectangular box, and it'd be like the rectangle set on its short end, right? That was our TV. And I remember she had a box of Kleenex on the table in front of her in our family room. And she was sitting there crying, watching. It was when they brought his body to Lyon State, and John Kennedy Jr. saluted his father. I remember that, and that is etched in my brain. Not because the president was assassinated, because I didn't understand it, but I remember my mom crying, and I'd never seen my mom cry before. Yeah, more Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so can make.
All right, time for us to check the news here. The Stars and Stripes, where we tend to start. First NATO-owned surveillance drone arrives in Sigonella as Alliance looks to the Middle East and Africa. How about that? NATO with its own drones. That's a big deal, man. If you don't have drones, come on. Are you really serious about being involved in the whole event? The answer to that is no, you're not. Okay, so NATO, legit. So the so NATO's got its own drone, so that's a big deal. They're also going to modernize their AWACS fleet, right? Their early warning aircraft. And here's another headline. In a first for China in Europe, Serbia is going to receive Chinese armed drones. So China making inroads into Europe as well. Story that I saw yesterday. Navy veteran found in his Dallas area apartment had been dead for 3 years. How is that possible, right? Yeah, it's a horrible story, man. I mean, it's a horrible story. So here's the story. Here's the story. When Ronald Wayne White stopped responding to his mother's phone calls in 2016, she knew something wasn't right. But when Doris Stevens said she contacted Dallas Area Police Department about her son, a Navy veteran who had worked as a defense contractor, she couldn't get any answers. White's body was discovered in DeSoto, Texas apartment last week, and a medical examiner determined he'd been dead there for about 3 years. She received the news about her son's death from White's adult daughter and her mother, White's ex-wife. He'd been divorced for more than 20 years, wasn't close to either of his two adult children. Good God, man. 3 years? I mean, didn't the neighbors, like, I don't know. I mean, you see crazy stuff, right? That's why they put it out there, right? So we click on it and talk about it. But the you saw the story, and the another headline. In a reversal, Seoul decides to keep Japan military intelligence pact. Now, this has been in the news. Grant Newsham and I talked about this for a while. And And this is this historical dust up, and that's, Grant said, made out of nothing. It's North, it's South Korean, South Korean, South Korean politicians drumming up something out of nothing, right? The office of South Korean President Moon Jae-in. And then what Grant said is, look, there's nowhere to go with this, right? The alliance requires this. And so the Jeff's in. I don't know if Tim is. And so so we'll talk. We'll have Jeff. We'll have Jeff here at 9:30. Yes. So that should be it. A few more stories. Yeah, so the story, like that whole thing, Grant predicted that would happen. There's nowhere for it to go. Now, U.S. News, USNI, United States Naval Institute News, there's a really cool report that I don't know, right? I don't know if I'll have time to read it, but it's a pretty cool one. Report to Congress on Artificial Intelligence and National Security. How about that? Yeah, that to me would be very interesting to read, because that's where this is going. The here's a couple other stories. Update: President Trump tweets to stop the Gallagher Trident review board. So the president has got down his 8,000-foot screwdriver and is reaching into the Navy, and he's saying, not only will he keep his rank, they will not be taking his warfighter Trident pin away, right? It's so, but this thing continues. This thing continues to fester, right? And, you know, again, that's what we were talking about yesterday in terms of good order and discipline. The president ain't helping, right? Another story in USNI News. Navy says junior officer ship driving skills show modest improvement as the GAO raises question on new training regimes. How can that be? How can that be? How can they not have shown dramatic increase? All right? Navy ship driving skills have seen modest improvements over the last 2 years since fatal collisions in the Western Pacific. 1 year after the collisions, the Navy held a snap assessment of a group of 164 surface warfare officers qualified to be officers of the deck. They were given a written exam and a practical rules of the road assessment on basic ship driving tenets. And the results were sobering. Do you remember that article a year ago? Of the 164 officers, only 27 completed with no concerns. 108 completed with some concerns, and 29 had significant concerns. In short, that assessment said we have work to do. In other words, 84% of the OD surveys
had knowledge gaps for a job the Navy said they were qualified to perform. And then they go on to talk about it. So, pretty sobering article. So, that in the news. From Marine Corps Times, the CEO of Wounded Warrior Regiment got fired. Quote, for his job performance and personal leadership choices. So that's what the article says, right? And there's a picture. I actually met this guy in at Camp Pendleton. I went down, I did post-traumatic winning for him. Colonel Lawrence Miller was relieved by Lieutenant General Michael Rocco. Though the Marine Corps is looking into allegations made against Miller, a formal investigation has not yet been started, according to a Marine Corps spokesman. So, there must be enough to remove somebody, or else you don't do that kind of stuff. But, no bueno, man. No bueno. Next story. In early bird today. The ship driving thing bugs me, right? It's the most basic thing the Navy does. And you got to be good at it. And in 2 years, should we have expected to have seen more? And I mean, in 2 years, you got to be able to make concrete strides. And, you know, that stuff is just sitting down and learning it. At some point, you got to be deadly serious about driving this boat, man. So anyway. Number one, are the Navy's admirals forcing a crisis in their traditional civil military affairs? Now, this is a really interesting story because of the president's continued involvement in he's going to dictate everything the Navy does relative to Chief Gallagher. This is written by Carl Prine. Amid a crisis in the traditional civilian military relationships, an unconventional commander-in-chief took to Twitter on Thursday to telegraph his displeasure with Navy leaders who tried to take a SEAL's trident. The Navy will not be taking away, you know, Chief Gallagher's trident. The case was handled very badly from the beginning. Get back to business. It remains unclear if Navy leaders consider Trump's tweet to be an actual order. And even if it is an order, they seem to have cast doubt on whether it's lawful, arguing internally that the fate of Gallagher's trident is an agency-related matter, much like determining whether a pilot can qualify for a license. Just as the president can't order the FAA to certify his son as a pilot, the commander-in-chief can't order them to keep Gallagher a SEAL. They're suggesting behind closed doors. The president's head will explode if they drop that one on him. Whether the American people or Trump buy that reasoning remains to be seen. But the Navy's top leaders already have aligned themselves behind the push to strip Gallagher of his trident and evict him from the SEALs. On Thursday evening, the admiral seemed to suggest a way to back down off a scary precipice. Whoa, you don't see that often used. Quote, the Navy follows the awful orders of the president, said the Chief of Naval Information, Rear Admiral Charles Brown, in an email to Navy Times. We will do so in case of an order to stop the administrative review of Special Operations Chief Gallagher's professional qualification. We are aware of the president's tweet, and we are awaiting further guidance. The spat has been building for months as the president repeatedly intervened in the Navy's prosecution of Gallagher. On November 15th, Trump took his most aggressive action to date when the White House announced that the commander-in-chief had advanced Gallagher to special warfare operator chief, overturning his demotion to petty officer first class. Moments after the White House's announcement, however, Rear Admiral Charles Brown, the Chief of Naval Information, fired out his own tweet. As the Commander-in-Chief, the President has the authority to restore Special Warfare Operator First Class Gallagher to the pay grade of E-7. We acknowledge his order and are implementing it. That was perceived by Gallagher's supporters as a subtle slur
that sullenly belittled the president's order and derided Gallagher as a mere E7. A term used throughout the fleet to lampoon chiefs who don't meet the standards of the gloat locker. At the same time, anti-Trump tweeters embraced Brown's message as a wink-wink sign of resisting a president and military policies they don't like. Wow. Tim Lynch just said he's in. So there you have it. Oh, my God. So, this thing has been brewing for a while. So then the article goes into the background, blah, blah, blah. On the other side of the country, however, the Navy's top SEAL, Naval Special Warfare Commander Rear Admiral Colin Green, was plotting his long-anticipated move to yank Gallagher's Trident and evict him from the teams. To Green, why is he around even, man? Put him on terminal leave and make him go away. To Green, it seemed as if it could be done in an administrative process separate from Gallagher's trial and did not explicitly conflict with Trump's initial order restoring his rank to chief. As the two-star appeared to have mustered the support of his uniform chain of command, to administratively punish Gallagher, even if it was perceived as defying the White House. Chief of Naval Operations Mike Gilday supports his commanders in executing their roles, to include Rear Admiral Green, said Gilday's spokesman. Yikes. The Navy's top civilian also appeared to back Green's effort to remove the Trident. Commander Sarah Higgins, spokesman for Navy Secretary Richard Spencer, former Marine, echoed that he also supports his commander in executing their roles, to include Rear Admiral Green. Yeah, but that does not take into account D. Trump. A panel was installed. The panel will evaluate your operational ability, ethics, judgment, potential, and motivation for continued service as a SEAL, according to a document obtained by Navy Times. Green also sent a similar notification to the former officer in charge of Alpha Platoon, Lieutenant Colonel Jake Portier. So then the lawyers jump in, and you know where it goes from there. And this article goes on and on and on and on. They're looking for comments made by Admiral Green about the president. Gallagher's legal team warned that the Navy Secretary and CNO joining forces with a renegade SEAL two-star threatened to rupture the delicate balance between elected leaders like Trump and the armed forces. And why do they say that? Because Trump is like usurping every leader in the United States Navy. Quote, the president has spoken on the punishment of Eddie Gallagher. A two-star admiral should not be stepping in to substitute the judgment of his commander-in-chief. Well, what the president did was he restored his rank. Does that mean the guy can't be reviewed for his, you know, for continued involvement in the organization? I would say no. Doesn't mean that. But, yeah, how about that? So, and you know the president, he's having none of that, right? And he's gonna burn the Navy down here in a matter of minutes, right? It's coming at some point, unless somebody puts a lid on this thing. All right. Two, Congress passes a deal to avert Thanksgiving government shutdown, but December shutdown still looms. Again, Congress, man, what a clown show! All you have to do is I don't even listen to the hearings; I just watch it. And kids, it's on in case something bad in the world happens. I have my monitor on, right? I just watch, you know, the body language and the eye rolling. And I mean, it's just, to me, it's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing. And again, I say that all the way around. I'm not defending the president. The president of the United States plays fast and loose with the truth. But that is a hallmark of politicians, right? They all do. Quid pro quo. Oh, nobody's ever heard of that, right? Come on. Stupid. And, you know, and to me, holding Donald Trump to a different standard than you hold other people to. And I talked about the Clinton Foundation. Oh, the Clinton Foundation. Right. The thing that all the donations dried up to. Oh, well, how did that happen? I don't rightly understand. Yeah. Yeah. So nobody's ever heard of, you know, quid pro, I can say it, quid pro quo before. Number three story. The IG found that the former Academy Commandant of the United States Air Force Academy had poor command climate. She will seek to redress her firing in addition to misusing her travel fund. Yeah, what's that about? Right? Her name is Kristen Goodwin. Goodwin's attorney on Thursday said the Air Force's IG failed to properly investigate an alleged toxic leadership environment and will seek redress for her removal. He also said that she suffered bigotry, bias, and discrimination as a married gay officer at the academy. Well, pretty shocking that card got played, eh? Oh, really? Not that much? So, yeah, the politics of getting fired and as a woman and being gay. Are they held to the same standard or a different standard? They'll tell you they just want the same standard. Well, you got it. Oh, now you're, right? Oh, now you're pissed. The Inspector General report substantiated allegations of improper travel practices, including conducting personal business while on official government travel and having a cadet charge some of her travel expenses on his card while traveling to the red carpet premiere of Captain Marvel in Hollywood. What? The Commandant of the Air Force going to the Captain Marvel premiere? Commandant of the Air Force Academy. Whatever, man. Like, just stupid. Right. Right. Next story. And then we got to get to today in history. Before the boys come back on and weave their magic. Yeah, trust me. Again, as I said before, unsupervised, no bueno. First female Marine earns a reconnaissance MOS. Maybe I should start the show with that one. Lance Corporal Alexa Barth graduated from the grueling 12-week course on November 7th. Barth still has a few more training schools to go through before joining her unit at 1st Recon Battalion at Camp Pendleton. And that's all it says. So congratulations to her. First female to earn the title. Two airmen were killed in a T-38 mishap at Vance Air Force Base. And that happened yesterday. Overseas operations, the two soldiers that died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan were identified. U.S. allies, military successes drove down terrorism deaths almost everywhere in the world except Afghanistan. Yeah, that's impressive. Defense Secretary Mark Esper ended his Asia tour, highlighting the troubles and risks that confront Asia, speaking primarily about China. U.S. Warships conducted back-to-back FON operations to the South China Sea. The USS Wayne E. Meyer and the USS Gabrielle Giffords. Yeah, just driving with impunity right through international waters. Can you imagine? Also a story out of U.S. News and World Report. Russia encroaches on a U.S. stronghold in Syria, threatening a conflict. Now, we already bumped heads with Russia over there and a whole bunch of Russians right? Russia has chosen to establish a new military base in a part of Syria perilously close to an area that American troops have been charged with defending, heightening the risk of a confrontation from either an international skirmish or a deliberate provocation. It would be deliberate, trust me. And then today in history, all right. Now I have to play the today in history music. So stand by for the today in history music. It's a staple of the program. All right, so give me 1 second. Here you go. Today in History, sponsored by nobody. By me. What happened? We're doing it again. All right. On this day, sad day in American history. John Kennedy, United States Navy veteran, and World War II hero of PT-109 fame. He was shot and killed in Dallas, Texas. My next-door neighbor was on the Secret Service detail that day, but he was in Houston to do work, advance work for where they were going the following day, and then he was supposed to have the weekend off. And the Secret Service violated a whole bunch of their own rules. The motorcade slowed down to negotiate that turn in Daly Plaza, and the president was shot, and the president was assassinated. On this day in 1963. Other things. On this date in 1890, Charles de Gaulle was born in Lille, France. On this date in 1906, the SOS distress signal was adopted at the International Radio Telegraphic Convention in Berlin. A song that would be made famous by Bo Derek. And what was the movie she did it in? Bolero, right? Ravel's Bolero? Bo Derek in the movie Arthur? Yeah. Anyway, in 1967, the UN Security Council approved Resolution 242, which called for Israel to withdraw from territories captured when Iran the table in 1967, and implicitly called on adversaries to recognize Israel's right to exist. My entire lifetime, Israel and the Palestinians have been at war. On this date in 1968, the Beatles' White Album, right, was released. The Beatles' White Album was released, right? I don't know enough about the White Album to. Well, you know what? I can find out. So what cuts are on the White Album? Here you go. You ready? The Beatles' White Album was their ninth studio album, released on 22 November 1968. It was a double album. Chicago's like first four albums were all double albums, if you can believe that. Its plain white sleeve had no graphics or text other than the band's name, which was embossed, which was intended as a direct contrast to the vivid color artwork of the band's previous LP, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which exploded in color, man. That thing was all over the place. Although no singles were issued from the Beatles in Britain and the United States, the songs Hey Jude and Revolution originated from the same recording session and were issued as singles in August of 1968. The album's songs range from Style from British Blues to SKA to knockoffs of Chuck Berry. So, what are the songs? We'll get to that later. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get the Chucklehead Brothers on, and we're going to continue. I don't know where it's going to go, but Friday, in place of the chef who's having a tough day. So thoughts and prayers go out to the chef. He said he should be better next week, and he's going to come on, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving, which he loves, and more of All Marine Radio. Coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.